We are studying, or we just started last week, the book of 2 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, if you want to turn there with me, I'll be reading this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. So again, 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we are so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Amen.
One of the greatest challenges to the Christian faith is what is known as the problem of evil. The Bible teaches three truths related to this problem. Truth number one, God is completely sovereign. God is in control of all things. Truth number two, God is completely good. In the words of 1 John 4:8, God is love. And truth number three, evil exists. The problem for the Christian is this. If God is completely sovereign, if God is all good, then how can evil exist? A God who is in control of all things and a God who is good all the time, he should be able to prevent evil and suffering from happening, right? And if God does not stop evil and suffering, this must mean that either God is not all-powerful or that God is not all-good. Do you see the problem? In 1978, a rabbi named Harold Kushner tried to resolve the problem of evil by questioning the complete sovereignty of God. His solution to the problem was to uphold the complete goodness of God while undercutting the complete sovereignty of God. God is still good, he said, but he is just not strong enough to stop some forms of evil and suffering. But the solution to the problem of evil means the Bible is not completely true if what the rabbi said were true. So this is not a solution for Christians who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul addresses the sufferings that he and the church were facing in his day. Notice what Paul does not say in this chapter. He does not say that God is not in control because of all the suffering that he is enduring. Nor does Paul say that God is not good to allow or even bring this suffering into our lives. Instead, Paul teaches the church, God has purposes in our suffering. If that is the case, then God must be in control of that suffering and what the outcome will be of that suffering. And because God is always good, the outcome of that suffering will have a good effect in our lives. So listen to me carefully, church. God often does his greatest work through things that we try our hardest to avoid. Did you hear that? We fight to avoid suffering with all our might, but God does great things through our suffering. So let's look today at some of God's purposes in our suffering. First of all, we see that God's purpose is that we might receive comfort in our suffering. Paul normally begins his letters by thanking God for the church that he is writing to. But he does not begin 2 Corinthians by thanking God for what God is doing in the church at Corinth. Instead, Paul begins the letter by praising God in verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Last week, I told you that you can find the theme of a particular Bible passage by looking at the words that are repeated in the passage. The last word in verse 3 is the word comfort. If you brought your Bible, and I hope you did, I want you to take a quick scan of verses 3 through 7. Notice in verses 3 through 7 how often Paul uses some version of the word comfort. Do you see how often he comes back to that word comfort? 10 times, Paul uses the word comfort in these verses. Paul clearly wants to write about how God is merciful and kind to his people, and he brings comfort to them. And when especially does God comfort us? When does he do that? Let's look at two more repeated words in verses 4 through 8. The word affliction is repeated 3 times in these verses, and the word sufferings is also repeated 3 times. Paul then begins his letter to the Corinthians by praising God that God has comforted Paul and the other apostles through their sufferings. Paul starts his letter then with this focus on himself and not on the Corinthians. You say, well, that's kind of weird. That's not how Paul usually does things. Why would Paul do that? Because some outsiders had entered the church at Corinth, and they had convinced some people in the church that Paul was a failure. Paul suffered all the time because of his ministry for Jesus. What a loser Paul was. How weak he was. Paul was not a success. He had not climbed the glory ladder like these others had done. And so the outsiders to the church at Corinth said that the rest of the Corinthians should not follow Paul's leadership. Paul then opens his letter by making a defense for himself. He is saying that actually the Corinthians should thank God for Paul and what he is doing for them through him. If the Corinthians can get to the place where they thank God for Paul, they will finally recognize that God works in mighty ways to comfort us through the sufferings and the afflictions of God's servants. It's very clear in this letter that Paul expects to suffer for Jesus. He writes in verse 5 that we apostles share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. Jesus carried the cross of suffering himself, and so we as his followers should also expect to suffer as we walk with Jesus. This was not a popular message for either the Corinthians or for us today in America. If Paul had brought a message to the people of ease, of success, of safety, the Corinthians would have loved Paul and his message. But speaking about Jesus and the cross and repentance for sin, that meant rejection for Paul as he spoke this message throughout the Roman Empire. It meant suffering. And it also means suffering today for those who go out and teach people about Jesus. In Nigeria and in Pakistan and in India, being a Christian today can get you killed. in China today, being a Christian can get you imprisoned. We Christians in America do not face that same kind of suffering. Instead, what we face is isolation and rejection because we do not worship the same gods of money, sex, and power that our culture worships. We are not climbing up the same success ladder that our culture is climbing. And so we Christians will suffer if we follow Jesus. We will suffer not just because we live in the same world that has been broken by sin as everyone else does. We will simply suffer just because we are Christians. Now, this sounds like bad news, doesn't it? Not a whole lot of good news here. So is there any good news at all in what Paul writes? Yes. The good news is found in verse 4. There, Paul writes, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The two words, so that, in the middle of verse 4, remind us that our suffering in life is not meaningless. Our suffering is not a waste of time. God has a purpose for your suffering. His purpose is that we might use the comfort that we receive from God and from other believers to encourage other people as they go through a similar type of suffering. God wants to use our suffering to encourage other people as they go through a similar type of suffering. When my wife, Wendy, was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer 9 years ago now, she was comforted by many of you. She was comforted by your cards, by your visits, by your meals and phone calls. She was comforted as you took her to go to her chemotherapy sessions. But do you know who was the most comforting to Wendy? It was another cancer survivor. The cancer survivor knew what Wendy was fighting, and Wendy did fight, and she is still here today, in part because of the comfort that you brought to her through her time of suffering. Church, if you are listening to someone who is suffering in a way that was similar to a way that you suffered in the past, it's not just the suffering person who is talking to you in that moment. Do you know who else is talking to you right there, right then? God is. God is talking to you and he is saying to you, I want you to comfort this person who is in need. You speak to them about how you overcame the suffering so that they might have hope in their suffering. That's what God wants for you, to use your experience, your testimony, to give comfort and hope to another person who is suffering. God does not comfort us in order to make us comfortable. God comforts us to make us comforters. Now, let's not get confused about the word comfort and what it means. The word comfort comes from the Latin word fortis, which means brave, strong, courageous. To give someone comfort, then, is not necessarily to give them a warm blanket on a cold night or a tranquilizer when the suffering is particularly intense. Comfort, instead, is a stiffening agent that fortifies somebody in heart, mind, soul, and body. The comfort that God wants to give you and to give other people is comfort to strengthen weak knees and to sustain sagging spirits so that one faces the suffering of life with unbending resolve and unending assurance. Sometimes comfort does look like an arm around your shoulder. We can comfort people in that way. But you know what? Sometimes comfort looks like a kick in the pants. Sometimes comfort looks like, I'm going to push you forward through your suffering so that you make it out the other side. I want you to think this morning about the speech that Winston Churchill gave to the British people after their troops were forced by the Germans to evacuate Dunkirk in 1940 and retreat back to Britain. Churchill's speech was not a group therapy session in which he led the nation and saying, oh, ain't it awful what we're facing? That's not how he comforted the people. Instead, he comforted the people by giving them a kick in the pants. Let's listen to Churchill's words. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. This speech comforted a scared nation, but it was also the kick in the pants that the British needed to make it through their suffering. Churchill told his people, we are going to win. So if you are suffering today, don't quit. God is with you. Don't surrender. Don't feel like a failure because you are supposedly not a successful Christian for going through all this suffering. God will comfort you through your suffering. God's purpose is that we might receive comfort through our suffering. Second, God's purpose in suffering is that we might receive strength from weakness. Ancient Corinth taught and believed many of the same things that we believe in modern America. We believe that if you are strong, well, God has blessed you. But if you are weak, God must have deserted you. That's what we teach and believe here. Anyone who calls himself or herself a Christian should be ashamed if they experience a moment of weakness. That's what we are taught today. And so these outsiders to the church in Corinth, people whom Paul would later call in this letter, mockingly, super apostles, they thought that the church should be ashamed of Paul. Paul was so weak. He suffered all the time. Paul himself said in verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Paul's suffering in Asia, probably in the city of Ephesus, was so great that it was completely beyond his ability to handle it. He didn't have the resources within himself to be able to handle such heavy suffering. If Paul were alive today, he probably would have received a card like this from Christians around him. Let's see this card. Paul, you've got this. Come on, Paul, you can do it. You're strong enough to handle this suffering and persecution. You know what I think Paul's response would have been? No, I am not strong enough to handle this suffering. You superhero Christians accuse me of being weak, and you are right. I am weak. I don't have the strength to handle this suffering in myself. But you know what? That is actually good news for me, and it's good news for you. So how is weakness and suffering, how is that good news? We find the answer in the second half of verse 9. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Can you see God's purpose in your suffering in this verse? What is God trying to accomplish in us as we go through a season of suffering? What we see here is that if you are suffering today in some kind of a health crisis or a financial crisis or a family crisis that is totally beyond your ability to handle it, God has you right where he wants you. God allows your suffering to bring you to the end of yourself, to bring you to the end of your strength and your resources, so that we stop trusting ourselves and we put our trust in the God who actually does got this. We don't got this. We don't. But there is somebody who does. And it's God. God does got this for us. And so when God brings you through your suffering, who will get the glory for bringing you through? Not you. You are weak. You're just like Paul. But God is strong. God is almighty. And we only learn this lesson about God's strength and our weakness when he brings us through a season of suffering. So church, stop relying on yourself and on your strength in your suffering. Stop doing that. You don't have what it takes, but God does. So one purpose that God has for us in our suffering is that we receive from God his strength through our weakness. Don't be discouraged by your suffering. God wants to comfort you in your suffering. He wants to give you his strength in your suffering and weakness. Paul makes the same point about receiving God's strength through our weakness in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 8. Let's read those verses together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Paul is saying to us, we have a treasure located within us. And that treasure is the treasure of both Jesus and the gospel. He lives within us. But what are we, after all? We are a fragile jar of clay. That's all we are. We're not strong in ourselves. We could easily fall apart at any moment. We are easily broken. But when we make it through our suffering by the power of God, God is glorified. God's purpose in our suffering is to give us strength through our weakness. Finally, God's purpose is that we might receive life from death. Did you notice Paul's reference to the resurrection in verse 9? Paul writes in that verse, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." Paul and the other apostles within Asia felt like they were staring death in the face. That's not good. Notice, however, Paul's first word in his next sentence in verse 9. What does Paul say next? But. But what? When you're staring death in the face, there is no but. What possible good purpose could God have when death is hanging over me? We have already seen Paul say in verse 9 that this death sentence was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And when Paul mentions the resurrection in verse 9, I'm sure some of the Corinthians had an aha moment at that time. Oh yeah, we worship a Jesus who is risen from the dead. And this death and resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything for us. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins makes us realistic about our suffering in this world. If even Jesus, the Son of God, if even he suffered and died in this world, then I should not be surprised when I suffer in this world. I should not think that my life in this world as a Christian will be all about my success, my glory, my giftedness, my honor, my impressiveness. No. Paul says, I am weak. I will suffer, just like Jesus suffered. I am, in fact, going to die. But, and this is a very important but, I will rise from the dead, just like Jesus rose from the dead. That is a promise from Jesus himself. I can take it to the bank. Like Paul says in verse 10, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Paul was threatened by death all the time as he traveled through the Roman Empire, telling people about Jesus. But God kept on saving Paul. Paul kept on receiving life from death. Now, one day Paul would die because of his witness about Jesus. He would be a martyr for his faith. But even then, God would save Paul. God would resurrect Paul from the dead to live with him forever in paradise. Life comes for Christians after death. God will rescue you no matter what you are going through. Your suffering then has an expiration date. Even death has an expiration date. God wants to remind you each time that you face death as a Christian, that life is promised to you in the future. The threat of death teaches us to put our trust fully in God and his promises of life. This is one of God's purposes in our suffering. In verse 11, we see one of the means that God uses to give us life from death. It is the means of prayer. Paul writes in verse 11, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." So what would save Paul as he went out witnessing about Jesus? What would save him from death? The prayers of the Corinthians. We are weak human beings. We need God to save us many times throughout our lives. And what is it that saves us? Prayer. God's strength moves in our weakness as we pray for ourselves and for others. God sent Jesus into this world to suffer all the miseries of this life in weakness, to go to the cross in weakness, to die for our sins in weakness, so that he could rise from the dead in glory and one day bring us life from the dead. And we need prayer from other Christians when we stare death in the face. We need prayer that God would give us life through this death that we are facing. So, church, time for me to speak one more word of comfort to you that is actually more of a kick in the pants. If you are not yet part of a small group here at Hope Baptist Church, join one. It is in these small groups that you get to know other people. You learn how you can pray for them, and they learn how they can pray for you. Now you might think, well, my life is good. I don't need anyone to pray for me. Well, maybe that might be somewhat true today, but I can guarantee you at some point in the future, you are going to need the prayers of other believers. You will need them. and they will help you through their prayers. I can assure you also of this, that there are people in this church who need your prayers today. Right now, they need you to be praying for them. So make plans to join a small group this fall. We desperately need each other's prayers to bring life from death. Church, your suffering is never pointless. God has a purpose in your suffering. He wants to bring comfort through your suffering. He wants to bring His strength through your weakness. And He wants to bring you life from death. We gain all of these benefits from suffering, not just for ourselves, but for the other Christians around us. We exist to bring comfort to one another. We are the church of God. We are in this world of suffering together as a church, and God will bring us home to experience eternal life in a world that is free from suffering. He will bring us home together. Let's pray together. God, there are many people in this church today who are suffering in some way. They are going through challenges, through difficulties in their families, in their finances, in their health, and they need your help. They need to be strengthened. And so I pray that you would comfort your people today as they talk to other Christians here in this place. Use us to bring the comfort that we have experienced as you have helped us to get through a season of suffering. Use us to encourage and comfort and give strength to others so that they too might make it out the other side. In your name we pray. Amen.